Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Today is it the 6th January 1992. Our retreat has been 10 days. Ten days meditation. Is nothing to those who expect to achieve rahatship. In Sri Lanka, about the 5th century AD, one of the Mahathira who was very much learned, vast lot in scriptures, had more than 10,000 disciples. Some of his disciples attained hardship. But he himself hasn't yet reached the lowest stage of path knowledge because he hasn't practiced meditation. Later on, one of his disciples who was an arahant remind him of his neglecting the meditation. So Mahathira felt ashamed and he went into forest with a view to attaining arahatship. The fourth path knowledge and fruition in 3 days' time. Without knowledge of his disciples in the monastery, he got up very early in the morning and then went into the forest. Practice meditation. When he has been practicing meditation 3 days, he didn't experience anything. Even he couldn't concentrate on the object of meditation very well. Then he was a perseverant. So he continued to practice meditation 3 years. Nothing was attained. Then 9 years, nothing. Then 20 years, nothing. But he was not reluctant. But occasionally, he felt depressed. But he didn't give up. Proceed with the practicing. Then on the 13th year of his meditation, at night he was walking very mindfully. But he thought about his meditation from the very beginning to the end of that day. He hasn't reached any stage of the path knowledge, magga and phala. So he felt sad and cried. Why did he cry? Over his failure to attain any magga or phala. Then one of the deities who lived in a tree near the walking place wished to remind this old monk. She was also crying loud, crying, shouting. Then the Venerable Mahathera, the old monk, hearing what the deity was crying, he stopped crying, then asked, "Who was crying here?" Mahathera said. Mahathera means a senior monk. Mahathera is a Pali. "Who was crying here? Around here?" he asked. But he didn't see anyone or anything. They said, "About the midnight." Then the deity said, "Venerable sir, it is me who is crying." Then the senior, the monk asked her, "Why does he cry?" The deity said, "Seeing and hearing what you are crying, it occurred to me, crying enable a meditator to attain arhatship. That's why I was crying." Crying enables a meditator to attain arhatship. So I imitated you. I imitate you to attain arhatship. So I'm crying. Then the senior monk feel ashamed of. Then said to himself, his name was Desa. "Desa, see, the female deity too reviled you, mocked you, because you are crying on account of a failure to attain to arhatship, then he becomes calm because of his shame. Then he practices calmly, steadily. The mind becomes gradually concentrated more and more deeply. Because he has no sadness, no depression, no stress and strain, the mind is clear and calm because of the deity. Deity is a heart, his teacher. Then gradually concentration becomes deeper and deeper, realizing all anicca, dukkha, anatta of all mental and physical phenomena, and then attained the first path, fruition, the second path, fruition, the third path, fruition, and finally the fourth path, knowledge and fruition, knowledge, arhatship attained. He has to practice meditation 30 years to attain arhatship, to become an arahant. First of all, he thought he is very learned Mahathera, senior monk, so he can attain arhatship in 3 days' time, with the view to attaining 3 days arhatship in the 3 days' time. He went to the forest, but he failed. But he didn't go back to monastery. He continued to practice. Then 3 years, 9 years, 20 years, 25 years, he didn't go back to monastery, because his aim is to attain arhatship in this monastery, this forest. So perseveringly, persistently, he practices strenuously, intensively meditation until he has attained arhatship on the night of a 13th year of his meditation. That is why I said 10 days meditation is nothing to those who want to attain arhatship. Is it right? Huh? Yes. Now, with a view to attain arhatship in 3 days' time, he went forest, but he failed. But he was not relaxing. He didn't go back to monastery. He proceeded his journey. In the same way, our meditators also must copy him, must imitate him, without going home back, just practicing perseveringly and persistently, so that you may attain at least the lowest path of a Sotapattimagga. Not 20 days, not 30 days, not 60 days, until you have attained at least the lowest path of enlightenment. Magañāna path, knowledge. But for me, it's not possible to stay on here until you have attained arahatship. I'll have to go back to Burma. I'll have to be back in Burma on the 16th of February. And 17th and 18th, I take rest. Then on the 9th, I have to go a very long journey in the country, delivering discourses and conducting meditation retreats about for 1 month. Or has been set up. So it's impossible for me to stay on with you here, though you stay here until you have attained hardship. So what I want to point out here is you should not take 10 days meditation to be very long time. So in Burma, even some of our younger meditators, about say 70 years or 18 years old girls and novices, practice meditation at least 1.5 months or 2. Some are practicing that's intensively, strenuously. They get up at 3:30 in early morning, and the whole day practicing without a break. At night, at 10 o'clock, they had to go back to their dormitory and take rest. But some of them doesn't take rest at the 10 o'clock. They continue to practice until 12 at midnight, or some until 1 in the morning, and so on. So you should also practice in that way. By being mindful of all physical and mental processes which are arising at that moment, as I explained you, mindfulness should be continuous, constant, at least a period of time, say about 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes. If a mindfulness becomes a continuous and constant for 10 or 20 minutes, then concentration becomes better. In these 20 minutes of time, you may discover any new experience or any unusual experience or any amazing experience in your meditation, in sitting as well as in walking and daily activity too. That's why I told you, please be more mindful of more daily activities and more and more detail, slowing down all your actions and movements as much as possible. Because a constant and continuous mindfulness, at least 10 minutes, is very, very much beneficial for a yogi to attain deep concentration and the clear insight. So, In Sri Lanka, there's a Mahathira, a senior monk, about the seventh or the sixth century AD. Practiced this mindfulness and meditation for 3 years. Then one day, some young monks came to him to see him and to pay respect to him. Then he had to talk with him. While he was talking with them, he quickly lifted his hand, and then he put it down gradually, slowly. Then again he lifted it very, very slowly. The commentary describes this story of this mindful monk. But it doesn't say why did he lift his hand. It just say he lifted up his hands very quickly. And then he put it down slowly. And then lifted it again very, very, very slowly. And mindfully. Then the younger monks asked him what he was doing. Then the senior monk, the venerable monks, said to them, because ever since I began to practice meditation, I haven't done any actions or movements unmindfully. Now, because I been talking with you, I forgot to be mindful of lifting of my hand. So I lifted quickly. Then I come to be aware that my hand is lifted unmindfully. So I put it down slowly and mindfully. Then I lifted it again very, very slowly and very mindfully. This monk attained arhatship in a couple of days, the commentary said. But the younger monk said, yes, Venerable Sir, such a meditator as you cannot fail to attain arhatship in a short time. Then they went away. The senior monk continued his practice. So you should also remind yourself not to fail to be aware of all daily activities when you are doing. If you forgot to note, and if you do any action unmindfully, then you should train yourself to be mindful of doing it again and again repeatedly, then you are hopeful to be able to attain arhatship, or at least the lowest path knowledge, enlightenment. So that's why I repeatedly told you to be mindful of all daily activities, to be more mindful of more daily activities in more detail, slowing down all actions and movements. Because a continuous mindfulness, constant mindfulness, is a very important factor to make progress and concentration as well as insight. One of the meditators today told me in the interview that she had doubt in the beneficial of in the awareness of a daily activity and walking meditation before. Now she had some experience, unusual experience in the walking meditation as well as in daily activity. She said her doubt now went away. Why? This doubt hindrance is one of the five hindrances driven away by her personal experience of meditation. By being aware of her daily activities and observing very precisely the movement of the foot when she is walking. So when she when you observe the every movement of the foot while you are walking very precisely and closely. Yesterday I told you, you experience the specific characteristic of a wind element or air element, that's a movement, a motion, vibration, extension, contraction. When you lift the foot, you note lifting very precisely, observing the very beginning of a lifting movement until to end of it very precisely and closely. Then in a day or two, your concentration becomes deeper. But here you should be careful. Just noting or labeling is not beneficial. Labeling and noting is not meditation. What is important is to know the movement of the foot, to be aware of the movement of the foot very closely and precisely. But noting, lifting, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing, and so on. But noting is not important, but it can help you to concentrate his mind on the movement of the foot closely and precisely. That's why we have to use it. But there may be some occasions when you are able to observe the movement of the foot, to be aware of the movement of the foot precisely, closely, without noting, then you should do it without noting. But when you are observing any mental process or physical process without noting, it's a nature for every meditator. To have the effort relaxing, or not relaxing, subsiding and become weak. When the effort becomes gradually subsiding and weak, then the concentration becomes weak. The mind goes out very often. Because you haven't put enough effort in the noting, so the mind doesn't grip the object of meditation, or the mind is not attentively aware of the movement of the foot. So it goes out and wanders, then concentration becomes weak. If you know that, you should note lifting, pushing, dropping, lifting, pushing, dropping. Then the noting will help you to concentrate your mind on the movement of the abdomen attentively and energetically and deeply. So, noting is not indispensable in meditation, but it's necessary in some cases. The beginning of the practice of meditation needs noting, because you are not able to consider your mind on the object of meditation without labeling or without noting. Only when you have attained, say, the fourth stage of insight, or the six stages of insight knowledge, or the 11 stage of insight knowledge, you may need not noting or labeling. It depends on you. You know yourself. Yes, while you are walking, being aware of the movement of the foot, when the concentration becomes deep, you feel a series of very tiny broken movement of lifting. In the same way, a series of many broken movements of pushing, dropping, and pressing. Then here, what you are realizing is the specific characteristic of a wind element, air element. When your insight penetrates into the true nature of this wind element, or specific characteristic of a wind element, becomes mature in advanced stage, then you are not aware of your leg or your foot or your bodily form. At that time, what you are realizing is the movement of the foot and the mind that's noted. But even though you realize these series of movements of the foot, if your concentration is not deep enough, you are still conscious of your bodily form and your leg or your foot. And also you have the idea of I. My foot is lifting, I'm noting and so on. But that idea becomes vague, not very distinct. When the concentration becomes deeper, the idea of I also removed by the inside knowledge that realizes the specific characteristic of one element, the movement, a series of a broken movement of lifting, pushing, dropping, and pressing too. When you have realized this, the movement of the foot in this way, it's called Namarupa Parichidanyana, insight knowledge that discerns Nama mental process and Rupa physical process. Here, I think I should explain you very briefly the two characteristics of mental and physical phenomena. In the Pali text, as well as a commentary, said, when a meditator realizes Nama and Rupa, bodily and mental process, first of all, he realizes sabhava lakana, and then he realizes samanya lakana. When he realizes sabhava lakana, very clearly, then he can remove the idea of I or you, a person or being. When he has realized the samanya lakana of mental and physical phenomena, then you are not attached to any of the mental process or physical process at that moment, because you have thoroughly realized samanya lakana of mental and physical phenomena. Then what is the sabhava lakana? Sabhava lakana means the specific or individual characteristic of a mental and physical phenomena. Sabhava lakana means the specific or individual characteristic of a mental and physical phenomena. Samanya lakana means the general or common characteristics of a mental and physical phenomena. Samanya lakana, general or common characteristics of a mental and physical phenomena, is nothing but anicca, dukkha, anatta. Impermanence, suffering, and the impersonal nature of body mind process. These three characteristics of existence is called samanya lakana, general or common characteristics of body mind process or existence. Sabhava lakana, specific individual characteristics, is vary, because every mental state has its own specific characteristic. Every emotional state has its own specific characteristics. Every physical process or material process has its own characteristics. So, svabhava lakkhana, specific or individual characteristics varies. Then, when we practice mindfulness and meditation, most of the time, we have to be mindful of the four primary material elements, which I have explained to you yesterday or the day before yesterday. So we should, at least we should have knowledge of the specific and individual characteristic of these four primary elements. First of all, vayu dhatu, wind element, air element. Wind element, air element has movement, motion, vibration, supporting, contraction, expansion as its characteristics. In other words, specific characteristic of air element or wind element is movement, motion, vibration, supporting, contraction, extension, and so on. Whenever you are mindful of all your activities, most of the time, you are realizing the specific characteristic of this vayu dhatu, air element. The air element is called to vayu dhatu. vayu dhatu in Pali. Then, pathavi dhatu, earth element. Earth element is not earth itself. It refers to its specific characteristics. When we say pathavi dhatu, earth element, we do not mean earth, the earth itself, as you know. Element refers to its specific characteristics or individual characteristics. The same with the other mental process or physical process. Then, earth element has hardness, softness as its specific characteristics. In other words, hardness and softness are specific characteristics of earth element pathavi dhatu. This characteristic also are also experienced by meditator occasionally. You feel hurt under your feet, you feel hurt under your body, and so on. Sometimes you feel soft under your foot, you feel soft under your body, and so on. This is softness, hardness are earth element. The specific characteristic of earth element. But only when your concentration is good enough, you experience these characteristics. When your concentration is not yet good enough, you haven't yet experienced at these characteristics, even though they exist, and also you are mindful of them. Even though you are mindful of, say, lifting, moving, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing, you are not experiencing the feeling of the movement of the foot, the sensation of the foot, very distinctly. Because when you observe lifting of the foot, lifting, 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 then the mind goes out. Then the foot is already lifted. Then you get puzzled. Shall I put on the foot or shall I note the thought? Then what should you do? Yes, you had to put it down mindfully and then note the mind. But as soon as you put the foot down mindfully, then the thought has gone. But sometimes if the thought process is very powerful, it hasn't gone, even though you have put the foot down. It's going on. Then you observe the thought process, making mental note, thinking, 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 somewhat quickly. Then come again to the movement of the foot and walk and so on. Yes. In this way, you can realize that first of all, the specific characteristics or individual characteristics of earth elements. Sometimes when your concentrations go to a certain extent, you feel sticky sensation under your foot. Have you had that experience? No, yes. For some of the meditators, they have that experience under their feet. Sticky sensation. Sometimes the meditators stop walking and feel her foot. Whether it's what's it there? What the sticky sensations there, he felt, but nothing, because what he is experiencing is the specific characteristic of Vayodhatu. Sometimes you have a tearing. Have you had tears? Yes, tearing. Oh, you have a tear. What's there? That's the fluidity. Is it? Fluidity is the specific characteristic of a water element. Fluidity and cohesion, stickiness are specific characteristic of a water element. So you are experiencing this specific characteristic. Sometimes you feel tearing from the eye. But when you take your clothes to wipe it out and you lift your hands to the eye very mindfully, lifting, 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 then you touch the eye and wipe the ear out, But then there's no ear. There's no tear. There's no tear. Eh? What's that? That's also the specific characteristic of water element you are experiencing. That's not externally, but internally. Internal fluidity of our water element. Then, Tejo Dadu, fire element, we translated. Actually, it's not fire. When we say fire element, it refers to its specific characteristics or individual characteristics. That's heat and cold. Heat and cold are the specific characteristic of a Tejo Dadu, fire element. We say temperature. Have you felt cold or heat? No? Why? When? All the time. All the time. When you do not feel cold, you don't put on your sweater or your warm clothes because you put on your warm clothes, it means that you feel cold. That's a what? What's that? Specific characteristic of what? Fire element, Tejo Dadu. Then the last one is a Vayu Dadu, wind element. I have already told you. What's the characteristic of a specific characteristic of a Vayu? Vayu Dadu, wind or air element. Movement, motion, vibration, supporting, contraction, extension. We meditators have to be mindful of Vayu Dadu, air element, most of the time. Yes. But though we are realizing the movement, the motion of vibration supporting, the idea of I is to combine with it. I feel movement, I feel motion, and so on. Because your concentration is not deep enough to remove this idea of our I. In other words, because you are not able to thoroughly and clearly realize the specific characteristic of these elements. So, the idea of our I is not yet removed. When you are mindful of rising movement and falling movement of the abdomen, when the concentration is very, very deep, you just realize what you are knowing or perceiving is just the movements and the mind that knows it. In the whole world, what you are aware of is this is a dual process. You are neither aware of your body, your abdomen, nor aware of your bodily form. You have lost the sense of bodily form. At that time, what you are realizing is just mental dual process of rising movement, falling movement, and the mind that notes it. At that time, you have removed the idea of I or you. You don't take this noting mind with you to be you or yourself a person, a being. You don't take this movement process of movement to be you or yourself or not a person or a being. Because you are realizing the two processes, rising movement, then the mind that notes it, falling movement, the mind that notes it. Your insight knowledge realizes that these dual processes are very, very clearly and very deeply. So you remove the idea of I or you, a person or being. This is called Nama Rupa Parichera Jnana, the insight knowledge that discerns the specific characteristics of a Vayadhatu wind element and that of the mind that notes it. Then what's the specific characteristic of the noting mind or the consciousness that knows the object? The characteristic of the mind or the consciousness is just cognizing the object. The consciousness cognizes the object when the object arises. Its function is to know the object or to lead the other mental state which arises together with it, to lead these mental states to the object of the object which is cognized. So when you realizing rising movement, falling movement, and the mind that knows it, knowing of the mind is the specific characteristic of mind or consciousness. When your concentration becomes deeper and deeper, then you come to realize a series of broken movements of rising process and a series of broken movements of fallen process in the mind that notes it. And also that in that case you do not take the mind as permanent, because when the rising movement arises, then the mind knows it, then it disappears, you know it very clearly. Then again, when the falling movement arises, the mind knows it, then it passes, disappears again. In this way, you come to realize arising and passing away of the mind that notes the object. So you don't take this noting mind that notes the object to be a person, a being, an I or a you. In other words, you do not identify either the noting process or rising and falling process with yourself, with the person, with the being. Then here you remove the idea of a I or you, a person or a being. But when your concentration is not deep enough, you may feel very vague idea of a I or a person, a being. So it's so very vague. So this Namarupa Parichidanyana, the inside knowledge which discerns the specific characteristic or individual characteristic of a physical process, a mental process, is called Ditti Visuddhi. Ditti means around you. Visuddhi means a purification. So, this is insight knowledge. Because of this insight knowledge, which realizes the dual process of a mental and physical phenomena, and they are specific characteristics. The round view of a personality, individuality, has been removed, overcome, abandoned. So at this stage of inside knowledge of discerning nama and rupa, is called a purification of a view. Ditti Visuddhi, the third one. But it can purify the mind from the wrong view of a personality, individuality temporarily. It cannot uproot this idea of a personality, individuality, but it can remove this idea of a wrong view of a personality, individuality for the time being. That means as long as meditator is realizing this dual process very clearly and deeply. It's only when he has attained the first path knowledge, Sotapattimagga, that he can totally remove this idea of a person, a being. That's when he has attained the first path knowledge. But at this stage of inside knowledge, that discerns nama and rupa, the idea of a personality as individuality becomes weak and weak, even though it cannot uproot it completely. The time's up. May all of you uproot the idea of a personality, individuality, which is the seat of all defilement, and achieve the cessation of suffering.